This is The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick, sitting in for John Hockenberry. Happy July 4th to you, and thanks for listening. Hope you're enjoying this holiday. And freedom is the theme of this hour and this day, as we both celebrate our nation's birth and the very concept of freedom, relatively unknown to the world prior to 1776. And of course, we're reflecting on the events that have unfolded in Egypt this week. And we'll also talk about the anthem that helps to define our sense of freedom here in America. No, not the national anthem, the other one. The song that's definition has evolved over time only to rise unexpectedly to the level of a patriotic anthem. And we're asking you all this hour how you define freedom. What does it mean to you in your life, in your story in America?
Freedom is freedom from hunger.
Freedom is encouraging.
Freedom from financial insecurity.
Freedom is being able to make your own decisions.
Freedom is the best quality of life.
The action and ability to self-actualize, it's kind of unrestrained by outside forces.
It's a relationship that I have with society, and if society is allowing me to feel free, then I feel free.
Voices there from throughout New York, call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE to weigh in. But we begin now with three Egyptian Americans whose definitions and ideas of freedom and independence are being tested right now as Egypt continues to struggle with democracy. Well, hours after Egyptian President Mohamed Morsi, who's the country's first democratically elected president, was removed from power, the military suspended the constitution, installed an interim government under the leadership of Adli Mansour. He's the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. And Morsi called the military's action a, quote, complete coup. Now, Morsi is under house arrest in military custody, along with many of his senior aides. Several high-ranking officials of the Muslim Brotherhood have also been taken into custody. Their satellite television network and other popular Islamist channels off the air. Adli Mansour, acting civilian leader of Egypt, is said to have the power to issue constitutional decrees during this interim period, and the military has called for the formation of a technocratic government to oversee all regular governmental affairs and establish a committee to draft constitutional amendments. The Constitutional Court is said to now determine the rules of parliamentary and presidential elections. So, while Egyptians might have some kind of roadmap there, the future there is far from certain. Well, with us this morning to reflect on this future are three Egyptian Americans. Nancy Youssef is professor of English at Baruch College. Hi, Nancy.
Hi, Todd.
Sarah McGowan is a 27-year-old Egyptian American who was born and raised in Dayton, Ohio. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, Todd.
Good to be with you. And Ahmed Soleiman, a 37-year-old Egyptian American attorney here in New York. Hi, Ahmed.
Hi, Todd.
Good to have you all. Welcome to you all and happy Independence Day. Nancy Youssef, welcome back to the show, and let me start with you. It has to be an uneasy feeling just a year after military takeover, a year after an election, rather, that involved a military takeover before it, to see tanks and armored personnel carriers in the streets of Cairo and other cities across Egypt yet again. Your thoughts?
An uneasy feeling. I'm a little surprised. I feel that people aren't looking at the same pictures that I'm looking at. I mean, there were 15 million people in the streets over the past several days. I see the tanks and I see the APC carriers, but what I also see are, a huge gathering of popular will to actually renew the promise of the revolution after Mubarak's ouster. So I'm not seeing this exactly as a coup.
Not as a coup, but as a popular uprising, and as you said, a sort of a continuation of the revolution, not a lapse.
A renewal, yeah.
A renewal. Sarah McGowan, do you agree with that? A year after democratic elections, the military's in the street again. Do you see this as a renewal or continuation?
Yeah, I think Nancy was on point. I feel this is more of a continuation. You'll see in pictures flags of the crescent and the cross. That's a form of unity. That's Muslims, Christians, all walks of life coming together and saying, we're not happy with the status quo. This is not what we talked about last year. Let's renew what we agreed upon or what we had in mind. So I don't see this as a coup either. A lot of people in the media are swinging it that way. And I feel like this is more of a group of people, regardless of their religious beliefs, coming together in a country that was being run a way that they didn't approve of and saying, we're not happy with this. This is not okay.
Then again, Ahmed Soliman, a 36-year-old Egyptian-American attorney, not being happy with the status quo in a democracy, one hopes, leads to political activity, another election, and getting the guy out who you don't like, not the way we've seen it in the last couple of days, ideally.
Well, legally speaking, people seem to forget that in America, we don't have to wait for the next election before we change our president. Our Constitution has an impeachment mechanism in place. What happened here is that the Muslim Brotherhood wrote a constitution that did not have an impeachment mechanism. That was part of their monopolization of power. So without an impeachment mechanism in place, the people had no choice but to take to the streets. What essentially happened here was not a coup, but a de facto impeachment. And so therefore, I think they had no choice to do that. And it's very hopeful that moving forward, they'll have a much better democratic process in place than they did a year ago.
And that makes me wonder, Ahmed Soliman, how much confidence you have in the interim period and stability in Egypt. Many of the experts that we've talked to over the last couple of days make the point that it is extremely unclear who can lead this country in a way that's stable and that gets any measure of consensus between Islamists and secularists and all of the different groups, including the Muslim Brotherhood, of course. How much confidence do you have that Egypt is poised for stability now?
I'm very confident, and much more than I was a year ago, and I'll tell you why. If the Muslim Brotherhood had not run and taken power a year ago, they would still have tremendous influence over the people and the population. But because they did take power a year ago and people saw that they were not able to govern, the people essentially got them out of their system. And they have far less influence now, and there's a better consensus already on the street about what's the type of leader they need to choose moving forward. Last time, the Muslim Brotherhood actually only had a minority of the support from the people. But what happened was the non-Muslim Brotherhood candidates split the vote, sort of the same way Al Gore and Ralph Nader did in Florida in 2000. And so you ended up having the Muslim Brotherhood win the plurality. This time, because they don't have any more support, I think there's a better consensus that they need to rally behind a candidate that'll be more secular, maybe a little bit more worldly, and more focused on governing than they are on social issues the way the Brotherhood was. For us to see the Christian leadership and the Muslim leadership and the military leadership and people like El Baradei standing together when this announcement was made yesterday, I think is very hopeful that there's a little bit more unison moving forward.
Still, Nancy Youssef, at Baruch College, there doesn't seem to be any practical way, maybe any desirable way, to marginalize the Muslim Brotherhood. Maybe a plurality and not a majority is what they won, but they were democratically elected, and they have a lot of supporters.
Well, democratically elected under a rushed election where there was a lot of dispute about the process, I think we need to be careful with that term as well. We have free and fair elections in this country, and yet we also have people that might question the legitimacy of voting rights here. So I think we need to be careful with those terms and understand that this is a long process. I think we also need to distinguish between the Muslim Brotherhood as a political party and quote-unquote Islamism. There are many devout Muslims in Egypt, and many who might want to see Islam play a greater role in the governance of the country. But that sentiment, that political belief, needs to be distinguished from a particular party monopolizing power. So I agree with much of what I heard Ahmed say about this.
Sarah McGowan, you talked about a renewal of the revolution, and I wonder about your confidence in the military. Of course, as you remember probably better than I, in the first phase of this revolution, it was many of the same protesters in the street protesting the military rule of the very apparatus that's in charge now. Your confidence in the military to shepherd Egypt through an interim period and responsibly hand over power in a way that that fosters freedom and democracy, you're confident about that?
More so than I was a year ago. I feel as though Ahmed said it right. You know, before the Muslim Brotherhood was very apparent, and they did, they split the vote, and people were kind of, I could say my family wasn't overly happy about it. But, you know, it is what it is. We're stronger today than we were a year ago. I think the military sees that. They see this uprising of people, these protests, these gatherings as, you know, an informal impeachment, exactly what he said. And I'm more confident today than I was a year ago in saying I feel like we're headed in the right direction. There's still a little bit of nervousness, of course. You never know what can happen, but far more confident than I was before.
Ahmed Suleiman, half Egyptian, half American you are. I don't know if you consider it half and half, but Egyptian American anyway. What about your American government? Satisfied with sort of the hands-off approach and no fingerprint statements coming from the White House at this time? Is that appropriate?
Well, I mean, they have no choice but to do that. I mean, if I was in Obama's position, I would be doing the same thing. They have to tread carefully here. They have to show that they support democracy, and they have to push that new elections will happen as soon as possible, and they have to somewhat, as he did, condemn the fact that, you know, a constitutionally elected president was ousted. But like I said, you know, it was more of a de facto impeachment. So how can he speak out against the will of the people? As a friend of mine recently said, who are we to judge their decision? If 33 million people over there in Egypt take to the streets, they must have their reasons. And, you know, it's their country and they'll do what they want. So, you know, we have to support the people. And if that means that they wanted him out and they want to have a new interim constitution, then that's really what Obama should be doing. So he's kind of walking both sides of the fence, and I don't blame him for that.
There's the voices there of three Egyptian Americans just a day after the removal of Muslim Brotherhood party member and Egyptian President Mohamed Morsi from his post in Egypt by the military. We were just speaking with Ahmed Suleiman, 36-year-old Egyptian American in New York, Sarah McGowan, 27-year-old Egyptian American, born and raised in Dayton, Ohio, and our friend Nancy Youssef, professor of English at Baruch College. Thanks to all three of you.
Thanks. Thanks, Todd.
Well, all this hour, we're talking to you about what freedom means to you. Margot Roth writes to say simply, it's a state of mind. Darnell Robinson tweeted us to say that freedom is not having everything we crave. It's being able to go without things we crave and be okay with it. For some people, it's a bit simpler.
My name is Claire. I'm calling from Manhattan. Freedom is never having to say, I'm married.
There's one version of freedom. Do you share it? Call us at 8778-MY-TAKE and be part of the conversation. Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/thetakeaway. You can always tweet us your response by using the hashtag #FreedomIs.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.